Hi, it's Karen Webster, and welcome to Topic TBD, where every Friday we discuss a topic that is both making news and newsworthy with an industry expert. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by David Thompson, the Chief Technology Officer at Western Union. David, thanks for joining me today. Happy Friday.
Thank you, Karen, for having me. I appreciate it.
So the topic, I guess these are topics that make news all the time, but we're going to kind of smash them together in a robust discussion, digital, clearly, P2P, and contextual commerce. And we're going to do that in the context of the earnings announcement that you guys made yesterday. It was a tremendous performance. Results were really great all the way around. Digital, in particular, was a strong performer, up 25% in the number of transactions, with revenue up 21%. So I thought the first place we'd start, David, is to kind of get your reflections on digital and the transformation that Western Union is making toward digital. In an environment of people sending money to other people today, to each other living in the same country, to each other living in different countries, it's a different environment than perhaps it was maybe even a decade ago.
Well, thank you, Karen. As you stated, our earnings were, we're very pleased with our performance. And our focus, as you know, has been around really transforming our company and moving where our customers are going. And we are seeing our customers move in our omni-channel experience from retail, moving and starting to do more transactions in our digital offerings. And we're starting to see a good growth clip on the transactions and also revenue in our digital business. Our focus has really been enabling mobile capabilities, web capabilities, and even enabling in our retail channel digital capabilities to stage transactions and perform things with a mobile device, even in a retail environment. And that's allowed us to continue to stay with our customers who are very loyal to our brand, but also move as they change and gain access to feature phones and to smartphones, enabling them to do transactions as they move around the world or as they move around their daily life. And really our focus has been around in a peer-to-peer transaction. It's very social in nature. Typically we see these transactions either as support or emergency send, where a mother might be sending funds to her son who's in college, or there might be an emergency where someone has run out of gas and they need gas and when they're traveling and don't have any cash. And so by that starts through a context of a conversation between individuals. And we've really been innovating in this area so that we can enable transactions in social media platforms, in messaging platforms, so that a cross-border payment or a domestic payment remittance could be done with our platform. And that's what's enabling some of our growth is these partnerships and contextual sends of a peer-to-peer transaction. And we really see this as the future growth for us long-term is staying with our customers in the digital environment and enabling them to send transactions as they move about their daily life.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes, some of those contextual channels that you've embraced. But the environment around P2P has changed. There are a number of players that have entered the space. A number of them are focused on, domestic P2P, not necessarily emergency stuff, but I would consider some of those use cases to be support. While there are global brands that are also enabling P2P payments, can you just give us a sense of the dynamics of those changes and how you guys are thinking about the P2P / remittance space as a result?
Yes, so as you stated, Karen, we are starting to see a new entrance into the market, many new competitors, primarily in the domestic remittance space. There's a very low barrier to entry in the domestic payments, domestic peer-to-peer space because of the regulatory framework is significantly lower. The license requirements are significantly lower or non-existent. So we are seeing significant competition in that space. We offer unique capabilities in that we have an ability in our domestic peer-to-peer payments capability. We have a cash-out capability, which many of these transactions are customers need a cash-out capability or a cash-in capability, and that's a unique competitive advantage we have. The other thing that we have and what we see is the barrier to entry is very high as soon as you cross the border because of the AML frameworks, regulatory frameworks, and the compliance capabilities and the fraud and risk technologies that you need to have in place for a cross-border remittance so that you can combat money laundering, terrorist financing, human trafficking. Those types of things really become a big part of the technology and your business operations when you do cross-border remittances. And our focus has been trying to blur the lines between those two, a domestic payment or international. We have both capabilities, and that allows us to have consumers who can send a domestic payment and international, and the flow in the transaction, the friction in the transaction is fairly low because we have built capabilities around identifying our customers, doing KYC of our customers as required by regulations. And this is where this is the real competitive advantage long-term for Western Union is that capability. But we do see significant competition, and that is growing. And so we have to stay on top of our toes with regard to the customer experience, listening to our customers about the processes we have, and making sure that we're in tune and listening to our customers.
So that's a good segue into one of the contextual opportunities that made news not long ago when one of the partnerships you struck was with Facebook's Messenger, and now there's an opportunity within Messenger to send money. Give us a sense of how that's going for you and what prompted you to decide that was a partnership that you wanted to explore.
This is one of the third partnerships that we've created with Facebook. We, a few years ago, launched a partnership with WeChat and Viber where we have enabled cross-border remittances in those platforms. And we really wanted to have a capability that allows these partners to enable financial services to billions of customers around the world. And what we found is, as I stated earlier, a remittance is typically very social. It's two individuals communicating with each other, I owe you, you owe me, or there's a support payment, or there's an emergency payment, or payment for services. And that is typically done in a conversation, and those conversations are moving from phone and voice to text and to messaging. And so by building a technology platform as we have, that starts to pick up on that contextual conversation and enabling a transaction. If I say, Karen, I owe you $23, and I type, I will pay you $23, the technology can pick up on that and start to build a transaction that is enabled with your credentials and your payment credentials, and then be able to send that transaction in that platform, not necessarily having to come over to the Western Union platform, but embedded in those other messaging giants and social media platforms. That has really started to enable new types of use cases for us, but also significantly more transaction volumes in these new platforms. And so we do see these partnerships as a great opportunity for us in our technology and our growth.
Since technology is your day job, what kinds of technology considerations went into making sure that within those ecosystems, those messaging ecosystems, that everything went according to plan and that money was transferred to the right individuals and KYC and AML were, those boxes continued to be checked?
One of the things, when you're in these platforms, we wanted to have what we call flows or as little friction as possible in the transaction, but we also have a regulatory requirement to capture information and validate and do a real-time risk assessment of every transaction. So building on top of Western Union's compliance capabilities and our global scale and systems, we've built some technologies that allow us to ingest information from the sender to be able to identify the user. In some cases, we may have to do a KYC step, which we've enabled mobile upload of credentials and of IDs that we can then validate, then produce a KYC risk assessment and validation. Then once the transaction is enabled, we need to ingest or validate payment credentials for the funding of the transaction. And then we have to do a real-time risk assessment using our technology, and we use a big data Hadoop technology to do a real-time risk assessment of each transaction based on the sender's KYC credentials and the recipient and the purpose of the transaction. And, of course, the principal amount also weighs into the risk assessment of that transaction. All of that is done in real time in milliseconds. And the consumer who is sending sees very little friction in that transaction, but we're doing a tremendous amount of work applying billions of rows of data and analysis against every transaction. And so for me, as a technologist, it's exciting to be able to bring all of this to bear and to make it really easy for our consumers to be able to use our capabilities.
So, David, once that sender has gone through that process in milliseconds, do they now have, in effect, a digital identity that's associated with that profile that makes the second time and third time and fourth time easier for you to authenticate that individual?
It depends on the market. So some countries and territories require us to validate IDs on every transaction at a very specific dollar amount. So it varies, and that's where the complexity comes in the global market. But the technology, we build what we call a galactic ID around every person or entity or individual that interacts with us so that we have a compliance view of that individual and their data, their credentials, their IDs, their transaction history, their risk profile. That does allow us to remember the client, and every time they come back allows us to use some of that data. In some cases, if they send additional funds and they hit a aggregation threshold or they hit a certain limit that requires us to capture a second ID, we may prompt them that says, you've hit a threshold that this regulation requires us to capture a second ID. So we try to make it as easy as possible and only present that friction or that request when it's necessary by regulation or to make a risk decision. And so the technology is what is enabling us to enable these rule sets, and our compliance officers establish our policies and procedures for that risk assessment.
Do you leverage any of the social network credentials that may be affiliated with that account inside of Facebook Messenger? I know they're separate apps, but you know, obviously there are Facebook accounts associated with many Messenger accounts. Does that come into play in any way?
It does come into play depending on the sender's authorization. A sender can authorize us to have additional information based on their profile. And say you're sending $100 to your friend, and let's say you hit a limit on your sends based on regulation, we may have to ask, is this your friend? Is this a family member? Based on compliance, we can actually start to inform our risk decision engines and our compliance officers. If you're a friend with Karen in Facebook and you've been friends for 5 years, that's a data point for us for a decision.
Right.
If you told us that you're sending to your mother, but we see that that's actually your colleague but not your mother, that may inform us that, well, wait a minute, what you're telling us is not quite what you have in your social profile, and it may prompt additional analysis or additional questions.
Interesting. Are you seeing that inside of the messaging messenger, I know you're doing more than just messenger ecosystem, that you're attracting new users, or are these existing customers that now see this as a more convenient way to do what they've always done with you?
What we're seeing in these messaging platforms is we're seeing a net new customer come to Western Union. We're seeing a very high percentage, greater than 60% of customers coming through these platforms are new to Western Union.
Hmm.
And so that for us is a new use case. It is a new client coming to our and when we say that, they may not have transacted with us in the last 12 months. And so we are starting to see these new customers come to our franchise. And it is really something that's enabling us to create new use cases, and we're starting to see these clients do additional transactions to the tune of about 1.6. And so they may actually use a service now to pay a bill or may do another transaction to another friend. So it is an important part of our growth strategy to enable these platforms and bring new clients to Western Union.
Interesting. I was going to ask about the frequency. You answered that question. Is the behavior of the sender typical of what you see outside of the messaging ecosystem in terms of amount and use case? I know the two primary are support and emergency. Is that the profile of the messaging sender as well?
What we are seeing in these messaging platforms is a newer, what we call a user story or use case. We're seeing more of the IOU, you owe me use cases. When you see our traditional digital business, it's a support payment of a higher principal. It may be an emergency send of a higher principal. We're seeing a little bit lower principal sends in the social media platforms, and we're seeing more of the IOU. You know, you go to dinner with your friend and you owe them $25. That is a more common use case of what we're seeing, but more frequent transactions, which is you're seeing more of those transactions.
Interesting. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about another version of contextual commerce, but this is in the offline world, and it's something that you guys announced in Australia not long ago, which I thought was fascinating. So this is a partnership with BP. And the idea here is people going in to fill up their cars with gas now have the opportunity to basically leverage that infrastructure and that staff to send money and presumably do other things as well, receive money. So they become part of your agent network. Clever, because in reading some of the stories about it, it solves a problem that they're open more hours than some of your more traditional agents are. So it really gives more of a 24/7, 365 coverage. But love to hear more about it from your standpoint. Again, same question. What prompted the partnership and how's it going so far?
Well, certainly partnerships have been an important part of our history and will be an important part of our future. This specific partnership with BP in Australia, we were hearing from clients where, look, 60% of our agent networks are banks and financial services, which may have, in our retail network, may have limited hours. And our digital business, of course, is available 24/7. But we're finding clients who want us to be pretty much everywhere they go. And you can do that in a digital way, but in some cases they may need a retail presence for a cash payment. And what we found is people are very busy. And if we can go to retail locations or to other locations where clients are doing another task. I fill up my car about once a week. If I'm in the location and I need to pay a bill, or wait a minute, I need to send $100 to mom because I owe $100, she loaned me $100 cash. By combining the two, it really enables a new way for someone to complete a transaction doing two things at once. Many of these folks may be service workers or maybe, security personnel or someone who has really long hours and they may need to do something at 1 o'clock in the morning when they're available. By enabling this additional channel, it allows our clients to perform a transaction that's more convenient for them, not the convenience of us. We're really starting to see clients, and we're hearing this from our clients, and so it's important that we're listening to their needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people underestimate the value of a physical agent network in this business, which remains very, very important for all the reasons that you just identified. It also, I think, confirms some data that we gathered when we talked to a number of consumers back in May about their desires to multitask when it comes to commerce. They really want to take care of business, whether it's shopping for something, paying for something, while they're doing something else so that they don't have to make a special trip to do it. So I think you're proving that point. David, in the time that we have left, as you think about partnerships going forward, you said that partnerships are a really big part of the future. Give us a sense of what that looks like, just from a profile perspective. More of the contextual kinds of partnerships, or are there other flavors that you guys are looking to develop?
So, you know, as you stated, partnerships are important for us. We are starting to see even some of our more traditional partnerships, banks and financial services, there are some new opportunities in those partnerships, and I'll give you a couple examples. Take a small regional bank who may already be a traditional retail partner with us, and at the frontline associate, you may be able to do a cross-border remittance in person, right, in that channel. These banks and so on are starting to move into more digital capabilities where they are now starting to publish their own mobile application or starting to put their own e-banking capabilities online. And what they're finding is they don't want to go and build a cross-border remittance service themselves. They are actually looking to enable those capabilities in their own mobile application or on their banking website. And so we're starting to see more financial institutions come to us and say, hey, we would like to turn on a cross-border remittance or a cross-border bill payment capability in our mobile application. And this may be a local, regional, small bank or a credit union who has clients who are not able to come into their branches, but who still want to use their banking account or use their services, and they want to bring that client as close to their product as possible. And so we've created capabilities for our banking partners where they can embed Western Union cross-border capabilities or domestic capabilities into their mobile application and into their web presence. And we have some really great examples of those banks doing that. And that brings also a new customer base potentially to them. Maybe they have a migrant who's just moved to their local location and is opening a bank account at that credit union, and they need cross-border capabilities. Well, that local credit union may not want to build it out. So new partnerships are starting to form with financial institutions, and we're seeing some new use cases there as well.
Interesting. I mean, I would still put that in the contextual category, since, you know, you're really enabling a capability inside of something that a credit union or a smaller regional bank already has. You're just making it richer. One of the things I didn't mention in the top of the show was another topic of conversation, and that's faster payments. That's certainly the buzzword. I wrote a piece a couple of weeks ago about it where I cited the fact that Western Union's been doing faster payments since 1871. So it's not exactly new. But clearly as the individual who looks after technology and speed and security and scale and all the things that go along with that, I'd love to get your perspective just on the state of faster payments and perhaps how you guys think about it today and whether that's really any different from the days back in 1871 when you were the first guys to turn it on.
Well, we certainly have been in digital payments for a very long period of time. You know, it's interesting. One of the things we've done really well is solving the last mile problem. Realistically, we don't take a U.S. dollar, put it in an envelope, and mail it to Mexico. We actually move money cross-border electronically and have been doing that for a very long period of time. What we're looking to do, though, is to really speed up every type of interaction. So if we accept a payment type from a client, we want to be able to fund that transaction instantly and then be able to move that money in minutes. We created a new capability that, starting, just to give you an example, bank accounts. Let's say I owe you $100, Karen, and I want to fund that with a credit card. Okay, my credit card's charged, and I want to deposit it into your bank account. Well, what we've done is we've built what we call an account payout network, where we have enabled over 3 billion accounts in 56 different countries around the world, where we have direct access to bank accounts to be able to put those funds into your bank account within minutes. And that capability allows us to move, and this is outside of ACH, outside of all the other technologies that you've heard of. We've built direct connections with banks because we have such great banking partners. And so that capability allows us to move money in minutes, even into bank accounts around the globe. And that capability is starting to grow, and we're seeing more and more banks wanting to become part of our account payout network, and because it creates new additional flows for them, additional float, and new deposits.
Isn't faster payments about the risk? I mean, really, the ability, as you point out, has been available to move money that last mile in an instant for a very long time. It's just a matter of who's taking the risk and what the business model is to support it. I mean, clearly technology and checking all the regulatory boxes is critical, but isn't that really what it's all about?
It is, and that's, I mentioned it early on, is we do something called real-time risk assessment, and that's the real critical competitive advantage for us, where we can look at all the variables, the purpose of the transaction, the principal, and the corridor, and the funding types, and make a risk decision on that transaction, and our engines are doing that for us based on our compliance rules. We've also built a capability so that if the risk engine feels it's a too risky of a transaction, but could require could be facilitated with an interaction, we have a digital review capability where within minutes we can have a compliance officer either interface with the client or request additional information and then can clear that with a human intervention. And we've built a capability for that as well. So we want to keep these payments flowing and moving money in minutes around the globe, but technology is at the heart of it. But if we need to, we can inject a human compliance officer for a final decision. And that's the real competitive advantage, I think, in payments today.
So, David, you know, thinking about all the things that you look after at Western Union and all the things that we've talked about, you know, surely there are a lot of cyber risks that seem to be cropping up every day that, you know, that are quite serious. That I'm sure takes up a lot of your time, but how would you describe a day in the life of David Thompson at Western Union?
So I do spend a good portion of my time focused on our cyber profile and risk management. Throughout a day, I spend time with our business making sure that their priorities for enhancements or customer process improvements are put in place. But I also spend a good amount of time doing risk reviews and risk management. In some areas, we may be being attacked more aggressively in one market based on our surface area out in the internet, and we may need to adjust or change thresholds because of that. So it's a very dynamic day where I'm potentially talking about the business priorities and IT initiatives, but also making some risk decisions around our internet presence and our thresholds that we have set. And those things are very dynamic. I am actually spending quite a bit of my time teaching our business leaders about these risks as well, because it becomes a risk decision at some point in time as well. So my job has changed pretty dramatically over the last 5 years, where in the past I was really focused on the technology. Now it's the technology plus risk and business decisions we need to make around that technology. And so it's very exciting. I have a lot of fun every day focused on innovation, but also on driving our business.
Well, it was great to catch up, and it was certainly good to read the transcript of the earnings call yesterday. It sounds like things are really moving forward in a very positive direction. And the partnerships, I think, have really proven to be an interesting strategy. You know, the messenger success stories that you share, I think, are powerful. 60% of those individuals are new to the platform. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
It is nice to see new customers come to our platform, and it's our job to earn their business and keep them.
Well, David, thank you so much for your time today, for sharing a lot about the partnership strategy for Western Union and what goes into delivering against that. Thanks again for your time. I enjoyed the conversation. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you. I do too. And thanks, everyone, for listening today. Have a great weekend. Thank you.